Let's dive into our message. If you were with us last week, we kicked off our new series called Behold. And we've been sort of talking about the themes of Advent, leaning into those moments of that word behold or look. Look at what is about to happen as the angels declare to the shepherds, look. And last week we talked about hope. And we talked about hope as we celebrated 20 plus making a decision to walk into the waters of baptism. And we looked and we beheld what God was up to in their lives, and that hope was rising, that in a world that seems at times so hopeless, when you turn on the news or go through a social media feed and you're like, is there anything good happening? We realize that hope is found in the hope of glory, Jesus, and that because of him, we can have hope. But this morning, I want to ask you a question before we move to the second week of Advent. And that is, how many in this place like puzzles? Show of hands. You're not my people. It's okay. I used to like puzzles growing up, and then I got a little bit older, and I'm not a huge puzzle fan. But because I love friends and because I love my family, they're like, hey, let's build some puzzles. And along that journey, as you start building puzzles, you see the picture on the box, and then you're spending hours and even sometimes days to build the picture that I already see on the box. But in that moment, that's okay, we build it, and there's all the satisfaction of trying to put it all together, and you work hard, and there's great social times as you're doing this. But how many know that one of the most frustrating things that can happen is you get to the final piece, and it's nowhere to be found? Have you ever been there? You've done all this work. It's taken you days. It's taken you maybe even hours. And you're sitting there pulling it together. You're waiting for this finally come to fruition. All this hard work. And if you're someone who doesn't like puzzles like myself, you're like, it's finally going to be over. And in those moments, there is no puzzle piece to be found. And instantly, there becomes a flood of emotions. We start to get the feels, do we not? We have the feels that are like, I'm frustrated, I'm discouraged, I'm annoyed, I'm angry. There starts to be blaming and accusations. Have you ever had that? In the moments you start to blame the kids, then usually it comes back to me. Somewhere, Curtis, did you take it and leave it somewhere along the journey? And it could be true. But in those moments, there's only one thing that is worse than a missing puzzle piece, and that is the missing controller. In those moments, that is accusations all around. It starts to leave us with this feelings of all different things, hopelessness, discouragement, all this work for naught, because there is a missing piece. But my question this morning is, do we maybe live our lives the same way? Is maybe in our lives and in our communities and our neighborhoods and our schools and our workplaces and even in our country, is maybe something missing? Maybe, just maybe, that not a puzzle piece, but maybe are we missing peace as well? A peace that comes not just from perfect circumstances, but a peace that comes within, and a peace that comes from above. And so this morning we're going to talk about the missing piece, because I do believe that some of those feelings and emotions that happen when we're missing a piece of puzzle is the same thing that when we're missing peace in our lives. When we're missing the peace that passes all understanding and that comes from the Father, in those moments it can leave us feeling in our culture and our day feeling the same way as when that missing piece is missing in that puzzle. So this morning we're going to talk a little bit about the missing piece. If you wouldn't mind, we're going to go on a journey in two scriptures this morning. The first one is our main theme verse for our series. It's coming from when the angels cried out to the shepherds in the field and says, behold, behold, and look. And so we're going to see that in Luke 2, verse 8 to 14, and this is what it said. That night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby. They were guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified. I can just imagine. I think I would be terrified too. But the angel reassured them. Don't be afraid, he said. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all the people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger. Suddenly the angel was joined by a vast of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, glory to God in highest heaven, and what? Peace on earth to those in whom God is pleased. Then we're going to jump to the Old Testament. to a text we looked at last week, Isaiah 9, verse 6 through 7, to a troubled time, a troubled area in the history of Israel, of the Jewish people, in a time where everything was crushing in around them, there was oppression all around them, there was civil unrest, there was political unrest, there was social unrest, all this is happening. And then there becomes this hope that comes from the prophet Isaiah that says these words, "For a child is born to us, a son is given to us, the government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. His government and its peace will never end. He will rule with fairness and justice from the throne of ancestor David for all eternity. The passionate commitment of the Lord of Heaven's armies will make this happen." So this morning we've got these two texts, an Old Testament text and a New Testament text. And pause, everyone hit pause on their controller. If someone came today in a white Infiniti car or a QX660 with a license plate DETS146, if you could see Pastor Scott at that back entrance, that would be fantastic. And that again is a white Infiniti QX60 DETS146. Awesome. So repause, back in. In those moments, we've got an Old Testament text and a New Testament text. And both are declaring in seasons of unrest and seasons of waiting, seasons when there's that frustration of like, I know these promises are going to occur someday, but I'm not encountering them right now. They're searching for peace in their life. They're searching for peace in others' lives. They have a missing piece, but there becomes this promise of peace. But before we can sort of solve the problem, I think we need to diagnose the problem itself. And that is, do we have a missing piece? If I were to ask you today, is our world filled with peace? What would our answer be? No. Even if I were to ask you today, is our mall filled with peace? Most of us would say no, especially around this time. Think of what is going on even in our culture and our days. We're running and we have so many to-do lists. We have so many things we have to get. We're wondering, am I ready for Christmas? How is my credit card going to be ready for Christmas? All of those different things where all of our emotions are up and down and we're looking for peace. We're struggling with health problems and financial situations. We're struggling with relationships. And most of us would want nothing more than to just be at peace. Like the word that was shared this morning from God, come and find rest, come and find peace, is because most of us have a missing piece. If I were to ask you to describe the time of our season, the time of Advent, but the time of Christmas, and we were honest with one another, most of us would not say it's a peaceful time. Most of us would say, I got to get to here, I got to get to there. As my kids are getting a little bit older, I sometimes feel like an Uber parent. I'm driving from this sporting event to that event to this school thing to this Christmas thing. And along the journey, the only time I feel like I have peace is when I'm in the parking lot. Everyone's where they're supposed to be, and I'm like, oh, it's quiet. We would probably describe it as frantic, hectic, busy, angry, discouraged. But would peaceful be a word that we would often describe ourselves, even as followers of Jesus? But Jesus said, I've come to bring you peace. I've come to bring you life. The angels declared to the shepherds in those times, peace to all people, peace to you. Isaiah said he will be the Prince of Peace, and he's coming, and his kingdom and his rule and his reign will be known for peace. But why is peace missing? What's in that journey? But I believe some of us have the missing piece in our lives, and it can't be found in ourselves. It can't be found in things. It can only be found in the presence of someone, Emmanuel. We see that truth in the old and in the new. Ephesians 2:14 reminds us that God is our peace. Jesus is our peace. That there was a hostility. Our actions all the way back to the fall broke down. They broke down the perfect relationship, so there was a divide. There was sin that entered in, but we needed peace for our lives. We needed peace with God. We need peace within, and we need peace with others. And we have this peace missing, and that's the peace that many of us are holding back and missing if we wanted to have a life abundant and full of glory. Jesus promises that if we're followers of him, yes, there'll be trials, yes, there'll be tribulation, but he says that we will have a life abundant and full of joy, full of peace. And I don't know about you, but some days I don't feel like that. Am I alone? So what's missing? I think sometimes our understanding of peace is missing. We think peace means everything is perfect. The cars are all working, everyone made it to church on time, and there was no fights in the car. That itself is a Christmas miracle. All of these moments of like, that is what peace is. Peace means there's no storms. Peace means everything in my life is right. But I want to tell you today, that is not the biblical understanding of peace. That is not the peace that God is talking about here today. That's an external peace, and yes, there will be peace eventually. That is one day we look for that. One day we wait. Well, there'll be no tears, there'll be no sickness. But in that present moment, that's not the peace that we're talking about today. Because true peace isn't determined by your circumstance. It isn't determined if there's conflict around you. True peace comes from Jesus Christ, and true peace actually is internal. Have you ever been around someone when everything is chaos around them and it's like they look like in the movies, maybe it's Die Hard, and you're walking out of it, everything is exploding, and they just got a smile on their face? Ever been around somebody like that? Maybe they're in the cancer ward and everything around them is going bad, but there is a peace because there's something within that's changing, that's transforming. The biblical understanding of peace comes from this word that many of us have heard, but usually as a coming and going term, shalom. How many in this place have heard that word before? When we hear the word shalom, it's not just saying hello or goodbye or a greeting or a salutation, but actually the biblical understanding in the Hebrew would mean peacefulness, wholeness, well-being, perfection, safety, harmony, and completeness. It's speaking of a truth that everything would be restored or would be healed and brought back to how it was always meant to be in God's intended plan. So when someone says shalom, they're saying, may God's wholeness and restoration in every area of your life be restored to the place of its original created terms. That's a pretty nice welcome. It's that every relationship, every feeling, everything that is going on in your life would be made back to harmonious living, would be made back to completeness and to restoration. But we live in this broken and fallen world, and we start to wonder, is shalom really possible? Is shalom something that can really happen in my life? Can those areas of brokenness and chaos and fractured, can those actually come back to wholeness? And I want to tell you today, they can. Because if we try and do it ourselves, and there are some parts that we have to do, but if we try and do it ourselves, no, it cannot. But if we find our shalom and we find our peace in the Prince of Peace, and we find our peace internally, all of a sudden, shalom can begin to start to happen. Shalom and peace can start to happen within. It'll give us peace in the midst of the hardest of storms, and then it gives us the hope of looking for a future peace that will be fully restored when Christ returns. That is the season of Advent. That we wait and we expect peace within, but while we have peace within, we look expectantly for his peace and his kingdom to come in his fullness, that peace will reign forever and ever. That is the truth of what is happening. We see that peace itself is actually the identity and the activity of God. Some have asked, well, why are you a follower of Jesus? I want to follow the one whose identity is peace, who is love, who is hope, who is joy. And not only is that who he is, but that's what he does. He's not just known for his namesake. It isn't just a title, an ancient title that was plaqued there. That is what he is present. That is who he is still today, who he will be forever, and it is what he does yesterday, today, and forever. That in your life, the areas where fractures have come, where chaos has come, he is your Prince of Peace if you will let him. And he continues to bring peace to every area of our world, now and forevermore, because that is what who he is and what he does. That is why we can have peace even when it feels like it's missing. If you were to pull back, and Pastor Scott was calling me a little bit of a geek today, or actually this week, because he says, well, what are you studying? I said, I'm studying ancient Hebrew pictographs. And he says, pardon? And I'm looking at sort of the ancient way that they would write to one another. And it broke down even shalom. And they were kind of breaking down what would each symbol would have meant possibly even before they were getting to the regular written or spoken word. That it would have just been in those moments of writing those symbols, and symbols would mean different things. And when it got broke down, it's shalom is God restoring wholeness by overcoming the forces that fracture or bring chaos to your life. So shalom can also be viewed that God comes and he overthrows the authority that brings chaos and fractured and brokenness to our world so that we can live in the wholeness that he had planned for us. And when you start to think back to the fall, everything was perfect before, then our sin entered in, but God always had a plan, and the authority of this world, the prince of this world, he is overthrown by the prince of peace who came in and says, I'm bringing wholeness and I'm bringing life and I'm bringing hope and I'm bringing joy to every place of brokenness and every place of chaos in this world, past, present, and future. And that is why we can get a little bit excited that he is the Prince of Peace. That today, if you're missing peace, oh, God's on the scene if you would just let him, to bring peace to your life, to your neighbor's life, to your school, to your workplace, to your community, where brokenness and chaos maybe reign supreme, we can introduce them to the Prince of Peace, that when peace enters in, the darkness must flee. It starts to change that there is hope, that it can be restored back to how it was always meant to be. But my question is this, if we know that he is the Prince of Peace, if we know that life can change, if we know that all those are how it's supposed to be, why isn't it? Because I'm not going to lie to you. Even this week, one of my kids are sick, so we had to figure out who's staying home taking care of that because both of us had commitments here. It wasn't a peaceful morning. As I'm talking about peace, and I'm sitting there thinking, that's always great, you know, shalom. And walking through all those, but we're all real. We've all had those moments where you try to start the car and go click, 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 and you're like, I need to be filled with peace today. So the question is what kind of peace or what kind of pieces of the puzzle of our lives may we be missing this Christmas? Because we want to unpack three different pieces. Three different pieces that maybe in your life and in your situations you could be missing this year. And if we would find these pieces, I believe it would bring peace to our hearts, peace to our lives, and it would be a peace that passes all understanding, that brings glory to God and gives us the joy of the season that we're meant to be. So how many want to look a little bit at the missing pieces? Good. So say to your neighbor, say, neighbor, what piece are you missing? Say to your other neighbor, say, neighbor, we're about to find out. So the first piece that we want to talk about that maybe in your life today you are missing, and maybe today, I'm hoping you're not, and I'm not missing, I'm glad, okay, is spiritual peace. That's peace with God. All true and lasting peace is based on having peace with God. It's that spiritual peace. And the question we must ask ourselves this morning is, do you have peace with God? Because when we're not at peace with God, there's always a tension and a void that's going to affect every area of your life. As followers of Jesus, if we would grasp this truth, we should be people who walk with peace even in the midst of the storms. When you see Jesus, who is the one we are called to imitate, the one we are called to resemble in everything that we do, when he walked through the biggest of storms, he walked with confidence. He walked with peace. He went to the disciples, you have little faith, why are you freaking out? On the cross, he says, Father, forgive them. I don't know about you, but that's a peace that passes understanding. It doesn't make sense. But he was in perfect relationship with the Father. He's challenging us. When we don't have spiritual peace, peace with God, If we don't rely on Jesus Christ, because you can't have peace with God without Jesus. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father. No one has a reconciled relationship with the Father without the Son. And that's why he is the Prince of Peace. He brings peace to our lives. He brings peace to our relationships. And he brings peace with the Father. Because the Father is just. He is holy. He is righteous. He can't be around our sin. But Jesus steps in as the perfect sacrifice. That's why he came. He came as the fulfillment of that scripture that we read about in Isaiah, that he would come, he would live, and then he would die for you and for me as the perfect atonement, the perfect sacrifice once and for all that would bring peace between us and the Father. That would be that sacrifice that would bring peace, and as Ephesians 2:14 would say, that would tear down the wall so that we could again be in right relationships as sons and daughters of the family. But you and I need that truth. Our lives will never fully be at peace. There will always be a void in our lives. There will always be a longing, a searching, a chasing after if we do not find peace with God. That's why you can have all the money in the world. That's why you can have all the fame and status in this world and still end up searching, still end up being at the end of your rope, because true peace only comes from encountering and knowing the peace, Prince of Peace. That's why your friends and your family who don't know Jesus Christ need to. Because the only place that we can have spiritual peace is through him. That's the truth, because Jesus restored to wholeness the broken relationship with God and with humanity. We talked about, what does shalom bring? Jesus is shalom. That is his identity and that's his function. He came and he restored the broken wholeness. He restored that was going on in our lives and in your lives. So when we call out on his name, peace comes. This morning, if you're missing peace, if you're missing peace with God, I challenge you, find it in him. Call out to him this morning. You don't have to have it all together. You can be in the midst of chaos. You can be in the midst of a broken situation where everything is just falling all over the place, and he wants to be your Prince of Peace. That's why he came, to be God with us in the loss, with us in the brokenness, with us in the hurt. He doesn't run away. Instead, he comes and he restores and he brings wholeness and he brings restoration to the places of brokenness in our lives if we would just let him. God's plan is that everyone would accept this peace. The angels declared, glory to God in the highest of heaven, peace on earth. He came so that he could bring peace to all people. It's not excluded. It's not inclusive. It's not exclusive. It's not just for this person or that person. It's not just for the rich. It's not just for the poor. He came so that all could experience his peace. So that's the first piece that maybe you're missing this Christmas. The second piece, personal peace. This is the peace of God, or peace within. So we had peace with God, now we've got the peace of God. This is that part where we read this scripture that Jesus said, you know, I come to bring you peace. My peace I leave with you. It's in the troubled times, even he said to his disciples when he's about to go, he says, the peace that I have, the peace that I am, I now leave it with you. That yes, you're going to have trials. Yes, you're going to have tribulation. Yes, things are not going to go perfect. And some days it's going to seem like you are walking through hell. But he says, when you're walking through those seasons, I'm right there with you. I've got you. Take my peace within, and let it be your strength. Jesus calls us to be at peace with ourselves. The question we have to ask is, am I missing it? Today, are you at peace with yourself? In our world today, I know I've even struggled with this in my journey, especially as a late teen, early adult, is I was okay with having peace with God, and I was pretty good at having peace with others, but I struggled at being at peace with myself. I could look at everybody else and do there, but the worst person that I didn't like to see in the mirror was me. I wasn't at peace with myself, and I wasn't at peace within. You don't have to show by hands, but I'm sure that in a building this size and a group this size, there's others who struggled with that. I want to tell you today, that his peace is big enough. Be at peace with him, but then ask him to give his peace to you. That would calm the raging thoughts. That would calm the troubled hearts. That would calm all of the negative thoughts that run through your mind, or the worries, or the stress, or the fear, or the discouragement. He comes to bring peace. Peace on the outside, but also peace within. A peace that would build you up, a peace that would give you an internal strength, that even when you're walking through trials, even when people are saying different things about you, you would know who you are, and it's not based on who you are, but who you're following. Who you are in Christ. Your identity is based on that I am a son and daughter of the Most High God. It's not about what I can do, but it's what he's already done. We find our identity and our strength and our internal peace through the truth that Jesus is more than enough, and I'm a co-heir with him. And so when he says I'm the head, not the tail, when he says he's for me, not against me, when he says I'm more than a conqueror, I'm going to believe his words because he is a mighty God. He is the Prince of Peace, and I know that is my future that I'm walking into, and it starts to become the peace within that when everything around you is falling apart, you have an internal strength that says, I don't know where it's coming from, but I know inside of me that it's going to be okay. How many want to have that kind of peace this Christmas? Because things are not always perfect. Some in our church family are walking through tough seasons right now. The strength, the provision that you need starts and really ends with him. He is the place of strength. I love this quote by a gentleman named Craig Rochelle. He's a pastor. He says, peace isn't found in the absence of a storm. Peace is found in the presence of God. Jesus promised himself that there would be storms. There's going to be storms. So the peace we're talking about today is not that everything is going to be fine and dandy. I know you're like, Pastor, I want you to tell me that. But I can't. You're going to have some bad days, some bad weeks, some bad years, maybe even a bad decade. But peace is found in the presence of our God. He is Emmanuel, God with us, the Prince of Peace. He's the mighty God. The turmoil in our minds and hearts are no match to our mighty God. Think about that for a second. I had to journey through that in my own life. On the darkest seasons and the darkest days of my internal life, the winter season for my soul, in those days, I had to be reminded that I serve a mighty God, a Prince of Peace. That no matter what I was waging, no matter what I was walking through, no matter what thoughts or what others said was being spoke in or around me, I had to be reminded that I have a mighty God, a Prince of Peace, who is with me, who is for me. He's not against me. And none of those things can actually measure up. They are not even a rival for a God who is good, who is true, who is faithful. The season of Advent reminds us of that truth. It reminds us that God still fights for his kids. So today, if you feel like you're losing that war for peace in your life and through your life, I want you to be reminded that Advent reminds us that not only today, but in the future to come, that there is hope, that our mighty God, our Prince of Peace, is actually fighting on your behalf, and he's moving towards us with the hope and the truth. And that's what we can find our rest in. That's what we can find our peace in. That the God who brings wholeness and restoration is still fighting on your behalf, and he doesn't lose. Last but not least, and sometimes this is the hardest, we've had peace with God, spiritual peace. We've had peace within, personal peace. Now it is relational peace. Say to your neighbor and say, uh-oh. He's talking about us. Because shalom isn't just us and God and us and ourselves. He has been in his greatness and his goodness. He's placed us in community with one another, not just inside of these four walls or online. He's placed us in community. So Jesus calls us to pursue shalom with those around us so that there is nothing broken or missing in our relationships. So the question of this is, am I missing peace? How healthy is your relationship? How healthy are your relationships with your coworkers, with your neighbors, with your friends? Are you only in healthy relationships with the people who agree with you? Ouch or amen. Because he's challenging us to be his peacemakers, not peacekeepers, his peacemakers. And so in these moments, we're called to walk along through that journey, that when we see brokenness, when we see injustices in our world, guess what we're called to do? We're called to imitate Jesus, the Prince of Peace, in everything that we do until he returns. So if there's relationships that are broken, we're called to do our part in a healthy and safe way. Understand there's some situations. But in a healthy way to offer forgiveness, bring care, bring peace, bring shalom, wholeness, restoration to the chaos, to the brokenness in our world. Where we see injustices happening, we're called to rise up and help. Where we see someone being mistreated wrongfully, to come alongside to bring peace. When we see someone struggling, to come alongside. The question becomes, how are we doing? How are your relationships? These are all signs of peace when we start to bring comfort, when we start to bring it, when we start to bring healing and wholeness to the injustice of our world, when we see the brokenhearted and we don't just walk by, but we say, how can I come alongside you? In your life and in our lives and in the life of our church, are we bringing shalom as a sign of the kingdom that is coming? As we wait in the season of Advent, the season of waiting, we know the world around us is not as it shall be or even should be. Our job is that while we are waiting, while we look with expectant hearts for his return, where his justice and his rule and his peace will reign forever and ever, our job is to display the kingdom now as we wait. That we would bring peace, that we would bring shalom in everything that we do. We've been called to be his peacemakers, and he longs for us to be agents of peace that will repair brokenness in our world until he returns. So our final truth, getting a little practical this morning, is this. How do you find the missing piece? Because in our family, back to the puzzle, in our family, that puzzle is not going away until we find another piece. Praise God. My daughter's a real good artist. So even on those moments, it'd be like, sweetie, you need to like draw that piece. Because nothing worse than building this whole puzzle and not doing it. But we turn the world upside down, turn the room upside down, flip all the cushions as you're searching for the missing piece. And today, I believe that we can do the same thing. Maybe our hearts today need to be turned upside down a little bit. Maybe our lives and our circumstances need to be turned upside down. Because I don't know about you, but I want to find this piece for my life, for our church's life, for my family's life, for the school where I coach's life, for the workplaces that we have. We want to be peace agents and carriers of peace. So how do you find it? Three little practical things that we can do this week. First one, refocus. When the angels said, they said, glory to God in the highest of heavens. I want to challenge you this week to shift your focus to our mighty God and our Prince of Peace. Don't look at the storms. Don't look at the diagnosis. We're acknowledging it. It's real. It's true. When you try to start the car and it's a freezing cold day and the battery goes click, 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 the battery is dead. It is dead. It needs to turn. We need to fix it. But in that moment, don't put your focus on it and let it determine your peace. Instead, refocus and say, yes, that is a problem. But yes, my God is still on the throne. He still is the Prince of Peace. I'm not going to allow this situation or circumstance to dictate how I display my peace this week. So when trouble comes your way, it's there, it's real. Acknowledge it, but refocus and turn to the Prince of Peace. We see that. Stand on his promises. Pursue his glory and his truth. So practical, what can you do? Get in his word. Get in prayer. Make praise and worship a priority. And when you get up, there's a common theme through a lot of these practical truths over these last few weeks. I want you to get up, and the first thing I want you to do after you get in the word, maybe say a little prayer. Thank God for something. Even if it's the breath you have, even if it is morning breath, okay? Thank him that you've got breath this morning. You are the Prince of Peace. You are the mighty God. Okay, let's get going. Number two, trust the news. Okay, trust the news. And this news is, don't be afraid. I bring you good news. Remember, inner peace starts with the Prince of Peace, and he has promised to bring peace to your life. Jesus is the Prince of Peace, and over your life, he says, I've got this. He has it. What you're walking through is no rival to our God. Trust that he's got it. Walk with assurance that even when it's hard, he's with you. He's got it. Rest in his promises. So the practical application of that, ask Holy Spirit to cultivate peace in your life. Now there's parts we can do. Physically rest. In the season of busyness, slow down. Physically find rest. Physically find peace. Reflect on his promises. Journal. And if you need to, and it's good, talk it out. Talk it out with a trusted friend, wise counselor. Maybe you need to go for counseling. Counseling is good. Counseling is okay. Go and talk it out. Talk out so that you can find inner peace that comes through God, but he also gives wisdom and discernment to even professionals and a friend to walk through those seasons because we were never meant to do it alone. Walk it out. Talk it out. And last but not least, become an agent. As he said, blessed are the peacemakers. Choose to let the gift of his peace overflow in your life and in my life. Start to have eyes to see what's going on around us and say, how can I bring peace through my actions, through my words this Christmas season? Strive and lean towards, with his help, to have healthy relationships. Around this time of year, it's hard. Stress is high. Sometimes words flow really freely that shouldn't flow. So how do we have healthy relationships? Four one-liners. Ready for this? If you've been struggling with conversations, four one-liners from a pastor that I listen to almost every weekly. He's kind of like my pastor, one of my pastors. And he said these words one time, and I wrote them down, and I try my best to live by them in my relationships. I'm not perfect, nor will you be, but let's try. Let me list them off. These are peacemaking principles. In your conversations, listen well. That means ask questions. Ask questions not so that you can prove your point even better. Ask questions and you care. Second one, overlook the offense. We're going to be offended. Offense is inevitable. Overlook it. Don't hold on to it. Sit there and say, God's got it. He's fighting for it. I'm going to be a peacemaker today. Number three, check your ego at the door. The conversation you're having isn't all about you, even though we want it to be. Let's be honest. Our opinion is always right. That's why we have it. In there, check your ego at the door. Say, this conversation isn't about me being right or me proving my point. This conversation is about restoring wholeness, seeing fruitfulness in this relationship. It is about speaking truth, but let's make sure that we're doing it from a place of wholeness so we can restore wholeness. Not so that we can say, I was right, I proved you wrong. Check our ego at the door. And last but not least, be able to disagree freely, but love regardless. It's okay to disagree. Some of you don't like the Maple Leafs, and that's okay. It's okay. Won't hold it against you. I'm going to love you forever. Okay? I'm going to love you throughout it. In those moments, we're going to disagree about some things, but love regardless. And I believe if we start to do this in the power of the Holy Spirit, we'll start to see peace with others. We'll start to see peace break through in relationships, in our homes, in our workplaces, in our schools, in our community. I don't know about you, but how many are ready to walk in the peace that only comes from him this Christmas? If you are, let's stand together as we pray. Lord, this morning we thank you so much for who you are. Jesus, we thank you that you are the Prince of Peace, that peace is who you are and what you do. Let us always be reminded of that truth, that first and foremost, that we need peace with the Father, And that comes through you, Jesus. So Lord, today, if there's some in this place that have never made that decision to follow you and to call on your name as their Savior and as their Lord, let today be the day. Let today be the day that peace pours out. That they accept the good news that you came for all. And Lord, if there's those in this place that want to make that decision, let them know that all they have to do is call out on your name. Believe that you truly are the Son of God. Admit that they've fallen short and missed the mark and that they need you. And that you could forgive them every one of their sins. And if they would ask that truth of you and believe on who you are, that just like a snap of a finger, there's change and there's transformation. That they can walk in wholeness and peace in their spiritual lives. So Lord, we just pray for those in this place that they would make that decision today. But Lord, there's also those in this place that are struggling with peace within. So today, Lord, we pray that the Prince of Peace, the mighty God, would come and would come within, that would speak to every thought, would speak to the turmoil of our minds and our hearts and bring peace today. That it would be a peace that passes all understanding. That today they would know that they are loved and they are made whole. And that the brokenness can be restored by who you are. That no matter the storms around them, your peace within them transforms us. And Lord, help all of us in this place to be your peacemakers. That today, yes, we gather as the church, but all week long we actually get to be the church. So help us, Holy Spirit, as we go to receive your peace and to carry and display your peace. That we wouldn't walk to the other side when we see hurt, but instead we would bring peace to it. Guide us, lead us, and empower us so we can display who you are, Jesus. We ask all of these things in the mighty name of Jesus. And we said together, amen and amen. Before you go, let me speak this truth and pray this truth over you. It comes from number 6, verse 24 to 26. And it says, may the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show you his favor and give you his peace. Have his peace this week. Be blessed, church. We love you.